Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I have my sister-in-law, Emily Jensen, here with me.
Hello.
And we have a really fun, long episode planned for you guys today. This is the Ask Us Anything show that you probably heard a little bit about on social media, so we're super excited to kick things off today.
Yeah, we feel like over the last, year and a half now, Laura, we've been getting kind of storing up questions, and we have some questions we get pretty frequently. And as you guys know, each week we don't really necessarily talk about like super practical stuff on the show. So we thought it'd be fun, maybe like twice a year, to just sit down and have like a group question answer session.
Exactly. So we threw this out on social media a few weeks ago, and I mean, we got just covered in questions. It was unbelievable how many you guys sent, and we so appreciate it. And they ran the gamut from just like really simple stuff to really hard stuff. Come on, guys. So there were all sorts of things. But one thing to note, if a lot of these things we do answer on Instagram stories. And so I know if you're not on Instagram, get over there, come over and follow us, because those are like only 24-hour things that last. Unfortunately, it's not like they last a long time, but you can head over to Instagram and periodically we'll just answer some of these frequently asked questions that we get throughout the week that we that relay to that week's show. So we hope that you'll find us there. It's probably our most active platform, and the community of women there is awesome. I mean, I just love it over there hanging out. So
yeah, and feel free to like email us too, because what often happens for show ideas, other than the fact that Laura and I are always generating all these show ideas, but sometimes we'll get several emails in a row over the course of a month about the same topic, and we'll go, okay, I think the Lord may be leading us to do a show on this. So don't hesitate if there is a burning question that you have, because there's maybe other women who have it too, and it may become a show topic, which you'll find out. We got several show topics from this little question session. So
yes. So let's dive in with our first question. Somebody asked, how many coffees, AKA life juice, those were her words, do you guys drink each day normally, then when you're pregnant, and then when you're nursing? So you want to kick us off, Em?
Sure. Okay. So I'm one of those pregnant ladies who gets kind of sick in my first trimester, and I think coffee sounds disgusting, but I have to drink it. And so I choke it down for like the first 12 weeks, but that usually like kind of ramps me down a little bit from my normal, like maybe four-ish cup habit.
Ooh, four cups.
No, not really. I think it's four cups in my mind, but realistically it's probably 2.5.
Like reheating it four times.
Probably. Yeah. I don't think it's really four. I maybe like fill it up four times and I don't know what happens to it. And so when anyways, after my first trimester, usually I've naturally ramped down to about like 1.5, and I don't even know like what the cup measurement is. Like I literally mean just like a normal sized mug. Like I drink 1.5 normal sized
mugs. I've seen some of your mugs. Some of them are kind of oversized, girlfriend.
Yeah. I don't drink out of one of those jumbo mugs. And I'm only like, this is just my one cup.
It's like six total cups.
Same when I'm nursing too. I don't know. I almost never
change
totally
anything.
Ramp down.
Yeah. I never change anything. I'm two cup girl, and I don't change it when I'm pregnant. I don't change it when I'm nursing. I love coffee all the way through pregnancy. I am the one of the lucky few, I suppose. There are other things that get me. It's not that I don't get sick, but coffee has never been repulsive to me. Mm. Well, I mean, when I learned to drink it back in college, but I love it all the way through. And my kids, when they're nursing, you just got to get used to it, baby. So,
oh yeah. All right. So I really liked this question, Laura.
Oh, of course you did, because you like fashion more than me.
Even though it's becoming a smaller and smaller portion of my life, the question is, what are your go-to mama forums, mom uniforms for on the go with your kiddos, and what are your favorite places to shop for pieces?
Yeah. And we have a whole episode on Mama Forms that we've covered. So you can learn about how Emily and I are so different in this area. Emily is much more fashionable and a lot of variety in your wardrobe, I feel like.
I'm coming around though. I just don't have time for that anymore.
Five kids will do that to you. So, okay. So my go-to every day is jeans, shirt, like a nicer-ish shirt, but not like a blouse. Like the silk blouse is a no-go with kids. I think every mom is going to be nodding along. But just like a cool tee or whatever. And then a cardigan. That's like, and I wear sneaks. I wear slide-ons, whatever you call those. Like, you know.
Like your Vans.
Like my Vans. I wear them a lot. But I don't change it up. I wear the same clothes all the time. You're going to see me in the same clothes. I am very boring and I wear almost all neutrals. I've gone more and more towards that way. And
you always rock some cute flannels. I feel like I see you.
Yeah,
in like,
I love a good flannel.
Like sweaters that are cute and
yeah,
flannels.
Oversized sweaters. Mm-hmm. Oversized. I'm totally into the oversized stuff. So yeah.
I'm right there with you. I'm glad that oversized is in style.
Right? I mean, thank goodness the midriff style is not in, because there would just be baby bellies all over the place.
And you think of like the moms in the 90s when it was like, hey, your shirt barely matches to the top of your jeans.
Or didn't. Or didn't even match.
Or didn't. I mean, now we just have this, okay, sure, if you pull on some leggings and a long wavy tunic.
So yeah, it's like, what's under there? I don't know. It's a magic trick. I just love it. I love it. You don't even have to care.
It's a magic trick.
Okay, so where do you shop at?
Yeah, I mean, it totally depends on if I'm pregnant or not. But when I'm not pregnant, I love Loft has this line called Lou and Gray. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a little bit of an athleisure line. Is that what it's called? Athleisure?
I think that's a legit word. Yeah.
And so I have several like kind of what I would call cute sweatshirts, not like grungy sweatshirts, but like kind of fashionable sweatshirts. And
yeah, so you wear those a lot.
Yeah. You will regularly find me in like a cute sweatshirt and jeans. And then another place I like to get my cute sweatshirts from is Nordstrom, actually, because they have, I think, about 2 sales a year. And if you're watching those sales, they've got some pretty good deals, and it's free shipping, free returns.
I do love that.
Shop from home.
Yes. I haven't been to a dressing room in years. I mean, years.
Like
yes.
Once a year I may go out.
Seriously.
Shopping.
Yeah. For maternity, I love Old Navy, Gap, Target. And then non-maternity, I'm into Old Navy, Gap, Target, but I added Madewell. And so I don't buy them for maternity. They do have maternity, but I love Madewell. Love me some Madewell when I'm not pregnant, because I feel that for spending the amount of money that I do, it'll last me longer than
And speaking of, go ahead, Laura.
Oh, a good maternity place that I found this pregnancy is Pink Blush Maternity. So we will link to that, but they have great tops and they're really cost effective. Yeah. They're economical.
But I have been looking there for pants. So listen, you guys, this is an all call. If you know of maternity jeans that do not sag in the bottom after a day and they're full panel, you email me, us.
Yeah, I'll take it too, please.
This is a saggy butt.
Not cool.
Okay, so moving on to something much deeper.
Yeah. We just ease into this.
So what are you currently doing for your quiet times? How do you choose what you're going to do? And anything you'd like to recommend or try?
Oh, that's like a 6-part question there. Okay, so for me right now, doing women's Bible study, we are doing From Garden to Glory by Courtney Doctor. It's a nice thick booklet, heavy little book there, but it's very good. It covers a whole overview of the Bible, and it talks about the meta narrative of the Bible, which if you've heard that term, it basically means seeing Jesus, like the whole Bible is one large story, and everything from the Old Testament all points towards Jesus. And so it's a very fun study. It's something I've never formally done. I've done this informally, but where she walks you through the entire Bible to see how it's one big beautiful story that God put together. So I highly recommend it. I think it's really, really good. It is a little bit time intensive, but most things I think that Emily and I do are. I'm currently reading through the Bible just from front to back, no special plan, but I'm trying to read it for comprehension and I'm looking for certain truths. But I read like 5 to 10 chapters at a time, but not in a way, which is I have to remind myself every day, not in a way to check it off the list, but to really comprehend and take the time to go back and look and see how all of these things are connecting. So I'm just reading for comprehension and take a little bit of notes and kind of write down one little nugget of truth. I'm currently in Ezekiel. So yeah, I'd like to recommend any Jen Wilkins study, The Garden to Glory by Courtney Doctor. I know, Em, you're doing a really good one that I want to try. So maybe you should go now. You go now.
Yeah. Let's see. So I think that was a good question of like, how do you choose what you're going to do? And, you know, I'll echo Laura of like, I really try to follow what our women's ministry at church is putting out. And I think probably most churches, either for women or general, offer some type of like Bible study, some type of curriculum. So it's really easy to just have that accountability and just jump on board with whatever your church is doing. And right now we're going through Ephesians by Carrie Fulmar. And I've just loved it. It's an inductive study. And so that is a method all in itself. Maybe Laura and I will jump on Instagram stories this week and share about some different Bible study methods. But I've just loved it. It's a second study our church has done by her. So I would highly recommend it. And when I'm not doing a Bible study through church, and that's literally all I do when I'm in that study, but when I'm not doing that, I try to have a plan. It varies because if I don't have a plan, I think it's super awkward to just wake up in the morning and like, I don't know, I'll just open up my Bible and point to something. Man. And
That is just like a recipe for not having your quiet time, like a 2 minute one.
Or having one and like having kind of maybe pulling some things that aren't true or like just kind of getting some weird stuff going on. Yeah. So I will often pick a book of the Bible that I've been interested in going through and I'll do an inductive study on my own, or occasionally I'll go through a book. That's not my study diet, but sometimes, especially if there's a particular issue I'm wanting to kind of think through, I will do that. And so I think recommendations, I agree. I think Laura and I have both done some good Jen Wilkins studies. But one of my favorite studies I've ever done for seeing Jesus, kind of like Laura was saying in the meta narrative of scripture, was study by Nancy Guthrie. Has a series called Seeing Jesus in the Old Testament. Mm. And she's got like several books in that series. And in the books, she both kind of like explains things and there's like Bible study. So it's just really, really good. And I think that was one of the most helpful tools I've ever used to kind of understand how Jesus shows up in like the Old Testament law and like all those good things.
Yeah. It changes everything when you start seeing Jesus in that Old Testament. I'll tell you what, it changes everything. Okay, so what temp do we keep our home in the winter months? I have no idea why someone wants to know this, but we're cold. We usually are about 67 during the day, 64 at night. My kids have space heaters in their room. Well, my daughter does. And I remember my mother-in-law would always, when we lived back in Minneapolis, would bring a winter coat and wear it the entire time she was in our home. I would have to turn up the heat for her.
Yeah. Laura's husband is a Minnesotan.
Oh my goodness. He is like, if it's like 60 degrees, he's sweating.
So we're the opposite. I wrote this down. I was like, this is a little bit embarrassing, actually.
I laughed when I saw Emily's temperature.
We keep it at 71.
Hey, you know what? I would love to keep it at 71. I'm just getting more used to my husband's frugality / he does like it cold. Yeah. So that's
fine. Well, we got, I think when I'm pregnant, I'm like pretty picky about like temperature. So maybe I've just been pregnant so much in the last few years. My husband's finally just like, whatever.
Whatever you want, babe. Oh, man. Okay. So next question is, what are your favorite resources for teaching little kiddos about God? She said, mentioned books and shows, music, etc. So we have a million shows on this. We're not going to go into this. And this is where stories, I think, really plays in Instagram stories, where we post a lot of this. So check out, we'll link to these in the show notes, but episode 4, 12, 27, 29, 44, 46, and 51. I just went through and figured out which shows we kind of talk about this topic. And so any of the show notes for those shows / there's a resources we love page on our website. And so go there because we're it is like constantly being updated. Mm-hmm. And so anytime you want to see what are we currently using, what are we loving right now, head over there and you will find direct links.
Yeah, definitely keep updated on that. Like Laura said, the show notes are, if you haven't ever headed over there, we really do try to load them with stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. We try to make them like legitimate, something you'd want to click to, that it's even stuff we didn't mention on the show. It's just related things that we've been enjoying. Yeah. So, okay. The next question, what are you involved in outside your home, Em?
What am I involved in outside my home? Not much right now. I know we don't always mention this on every show, but I have 4 kiddos. My oldest is 4 and a half and my youngest is 18 months. And none of them are like in a preschool program or in a Mother's Day out program or anything. So they're kind of all home all day. So we're in a season right now where, there's just like not a lot of ability to like get them out and do a ton of stuff. So formally outside of the home, I'm just involved in like Bible study every other Wednesday night.
Hey, it's all right.
I'm on the women's ministry team at church that occasionally just meets and looks into Bible studies and plans events. But kind of like our recent thing, which I'll get into more, is our youngest kiddo just transitioned into about 6 therapy appointments a week. And so that has kind of become kind of my new part-time job.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not necessarily doing like, I work outside the home or I've got this really cool church thing I'm involved in right now, like that is a huge portion of our life, is making sure that that child's needs are being met for their development. And that's just become a huge part of my life in the last few months. It's really new. What about you, Laura?
Yeah. So I am in more things. I guess I only got 2 kids. And I said M had 5 earlier because I count the one in your belly.
It's good to count the one in the belly.
Yeah. I mean, they're the easiest they'll ever be in your belly, but they do count. I mean, they slow you down in some ways.
Slow you down. They make you eat more.
Yes. And make you heavy breathe everywhere you go. So, but I'm really involved in my church. And so we are there. My son, for a little while, he'd be like, we're going to church again. And so we're there a lot, but, I'm involved in the women's Bible study and the women's Bible, leadership team, women's Bible study leadership team. I lead a small group in Bible study. And then on Wednesday nights, I am lucky enough to be able to take theology classes at my church, which are awesome. So we're there then. And my husband and I teach 3 and 4 year old Sunday school, and we get to be involved with my son's class. So that is super fun. And then we're also growth group leaders. And so we host that in our home as well on Mondays. And then, of course, Emily and I, we both have Risen Motherhood, which I think and we know it's not outside our home necessarily, but it takes up a significant portion of our week more and more as the podcast continues to grow, which is so fun. But it's certainly becoming a large hunk of each of our weeks, I would say. And so, and then, of course, I think I've talked about this before, but we'll get into it more as well. But like, I do a lot of play dates and try to do a lot of hosting, and hospitality is one of like a big ministry area for my husband and I. So that's just scattered, I think, throughout the week. But and I have childcare every Wednesday morning, which is phenomenal for 3 hours. And it's like the best part of my week.
It's probably like the fastest 3 hours of your week every week.
Oh, it's awesome. And then we just come home and like we slam them down for rest time / nap time. And then we go to theology class. I'm like, Wednesdays are the best, like the highlight of my week, because we're just clipping through the day, and it's really fun. So yeah,
that's awesome. Okay. So kind of related to this, sort of, the question, and we've gotten this question a ton, Laura.
You guys, I don't know why you want to know this, but a million times we got asked this question.
But I'm always really curious about this for other people. So I kind of get it.
Okay.
What are your daily routines? When do you clean, cook, work out, play with your kids, food shop, all those good things?
Okay. Well, Emily and I are going to just wave the white flag on working out.
Don't work out.
Neither of us work out. Our bodies might reflect that. But But I don't know. I know a lot of people, that's like kind of the tough one to fit in. And for me personally, we're just going to talk about working out for just one second. Okay.
Okay.
Because I feel like this is kind of a thing, but, for me personally, I started working out. I have this strong desire to work out. Well, I have a strong desire for the results of working out. So I kind of started to do it periodically, but what I started realizing is that when I worked out, I didn't have quiet times, and that it just sort of seemed to replace that time, because especially I like to do those things first thing in the morning. And I just made like a hard decision. It was hard, I'll be honest, but of just saying, okay, like if I can't juggle these two things, like I would rather be spiritually fit than physically fit. And I know that like some moms can totally juggle it and totally do it. But for some reason, every time I work out, that like the other thing falls. And so I just realized, what is hindering me from having quiet times? That's the reason why I don't work out, is that I felt like it was interfering with something that was more important to me. So
yeah, it's really hard. Laura and I have talked personally, I don't think we've ever talked on the show too much about this, but just kind of like any given mom, you know, any given person only has so much capacity and can only juggle so many kind of big things in life at one time. And really working out consistently is a big thing, and it's great
to
like prioritize that. I think there's, I trained for like one 5K in my life after I had twins.
That was awesome.
It was awesome. Like I felt so good. Like I totally get why that's important. But I think everybody for themselves, like Laura said, has to look at their own life and their own schedule and say, how does this fit in? And I know, like, I feel like I live a pretty active life, and not necessarily in running, but like I'm on my feet all day. I'm up and down. I'm, you know, practically jumping to chase my children. And so I look forward to a season of life someday when I can both work out and have a quiet time and eat and like take care of my family. We'll just say that up front. Yeah.
And we're not saying working out is bad at all, or that you're not having your quiet time. It's just, this is literally something Emily and I had have had many conversations about, that.
Yeah.
We tend to be kind of similar in this, is that something else falls when we add working out. And, so for us, we've just decided what our priorities are. And for some people, working out is like a genuine form of self-care, or a very like, just important. They're easily able to fit it in. And if that's you, like we are, that's awesome. And we are cheering you on. And I know you can do them in like 20 minutes and all that stuff. And we've heard it all, but I just, we don't want to knock on working out at all, but just let you know where I guess we're at on it. So
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
all right. So other routines, I thought the interesting question too, when do we sit down and play with our kids? I was thinking like, I rarely actually think I sit down and like play anything with my kids in terms of like, mommy will, you know, run the car down the track with you. But I will say like, I mean, I'm watching, and Laura's probably, I think, the same way, but I'm like always watching their play. I'm involved in it kind of at a distance, and that I'm watching it. I'm probably help setting up the toy. I'm trying to help direct what they're doing. So that was another one I thought we could just throw out real quick that I think you and I are pretty similar on.
Yeah. And I think as you have more kids, this gets so much easier, because I mean, I definitely probably quote intentionally played with my son.
Yeah, that's true.
When I just had one, but as they have, you know, like I had two under two, Emily, you've got what, 4 under 4 or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, just after the first one gets past that age two, I feel like they just start playing together. So there's hope, moms, if you're in that stage of like feeling like you have to entertain. There are certainly still times where I feel like I do puzzles with my kids, or I love the train table. So I don't really imaginary play with my kids. I mean, I do a little, but I've got about 10 minutes of acting like a dragon, and then I'm done. And so I think I've just learned that like, it's okay that this isn't an area. I don't want to play house the way a 3-year-old plays house, you know, it's very boring. And so, but if I, when I play with my kids, I do want to do like structured things. And so we'll sit down and we'll color together, or we'll do the train table, but there isn't necessarily like, I do this every day at 9:00. It's really just when it fits in, or when I sense my kids need it. Like sometimes they just, if they're begging for attention or acting out, you know, I think a lot of times that means they're just looking for attention. And so many times when I'm thinking clearly, I will just be like, okay, you know what? I need to stop whatever I'm doing and I need to go over here and we're going to go do this activity. I will direct them. And, I heard once that a parent was just talking about how she will just sit down and help the kids learn how to play. Like they'll be at the train table, let's say, and everybody's fighting and pulling things. So she'll model the correct behavior mm-hmm. and intervene. And if you do that for 20, 30 minutes and spend that time intentionally sort of teaching your kids how to play, not explicitly, but modeling it and helping to show them, that the kids are going to start mirroring you. And oftentimes they play so much better yeah. after you've spent that intentional time with them. And so just a quick tip, if your kids are kind of all over the place and they're fighting and pulling at toys or whatever, to sit down and be intentional to play with them, because oftentimes then I can walk away for a significant mm-hmm. amount of time and do my stuff and they will play nicely generally yes. together.
Totally agree. Invest that time. If you got multiple kids playing on a train set, two words, crane arm. You pick up the train. Laura's watching me on the video. You pick it up like a crane and you pass the person and you move on with your life.
That is a great tip. I was like, crane arm. What is a crane arm? That is hilarious.
So whenever they're getting ready to have a huge train accident, I'm going, crane arm.
That is hilarious. I know my kids will just like be like, oh, it's a tornado. And then the whole train table's, you know, like across the room.
So we should just blast through our routines here really quick.
Okay. So I was specifically asked, especially with a husband who works long hours, you know, how do I manage that? And maybe someday we'll do a show on that because it's whole world of, I think, being kind of a more single type mom during the day. But here's our schedule. So my kids go to bed late. I'll tell you that already so that they can see my husband. So they get up late, which means I get up at about 5 to 5:30 when I'm pregnant. I'm struggling here. And, I do my quiet time first thing and it's about 30 minutes to an hour. Most of that is spent in prayer. I've really been working on settling down and getting into my prayer life more. And, then I finish, I do emails, answer risen motherhood stuff, all that good stuff. My kids are up at 8. So yes, I know that's late, but I am not going to apologize. I used to apologize for how much my kids slept, but you know what? God's just blessed me. So they wake up at 8, maybe 9. It's awesome. And we're all dressed, eaten, have a little, family quiet time typically by about 9 a.m. And we are out the door between 9 and 9:30. Most of my morning stuff is at 9:30. Sometimes the play date might be at 10, but I like a very structured and full day. And, so we are gone to either church or we sometimes have appointments or a play date, different things, in the morning. And then we come home, have lunch, rest, nap time. My son does not nap anymore. So we have rest time. They'll give me about 2 hours with this recent transition to rest time. You know, we're learning. My son is learning how to stay in his room. And usually he'll move around the house a little bit because 2 hours is a long time to be doing one thing. So I'm kind of involved with him during that time. But generally I get about 2 hours of mommy-ish time. And then in the afternoon, we typically we'll go to the park if it's nice. We play in the backyard. We'll play in the basement. That's usually like if you're asking me when my intentional play happens, probably around then. The kids need it more then. And then we cook together as a family, the kids and I. Sometimes when it's a tough night, that's TV time. I usually reserve it around then, but about 4:30. And again, only have two kids. They're getting older. They can really help cook. So we do dinner together and it's pretty fun. It takes a long time, but it's kind of something to do together. And then the kids play on their own after dinner, typically while I clean the kitchen and do those kinds of things, vacuum. Sometimes that's when my cleaning happens is after dinner. And then dad comes home between, I would say 6:30, very rarely, and 9 p.m. And so my kids will hopefully get an hour with him is what we strive to do. So they go to bed between 8 and 9 p.m., sometimes 10 p.m. So that's why they sleep in later. We just kind of we've shifted our whole day so that dad gets to see the kids as much as possible. There are definitely days where he does not see them, but, and I won't get into all of that. I know you moms who are with me on this are what, you know, are feeling for me and I feel for you. And it's definitely a different, you know, family culture in a season that we hope to get out of, to be able to have dad home more, but it does make the times with him very, very sweet. So, mm-hmm. And after, when dad is home, he does bedtime 100%. That's one great thing. Yes. So I am cleaning the kitchen, doing some cleanup, doing some stuff. And then I'm on the couch, or that is my kind of break time, my first real break time for the day. So dad does it and he loves it. Like that's his special time with the kids. And we want to make sure he gets one-on-one time with the kids when he can. So,
yeah. All right. So jumping into my routine here, our wake up time is kind of depends on the day, depends on who woke up in the night, how everybody's feeling. So I'm up anywhere between 5:15 and 7 a.m. I know that's like a huge range, but that's just where we're at right now. And so my kids are up by 7. They have a,
they're like little soldiers. It's like they sense the 7 a.m. and they're all up right away.
Yes. No matter how dark their room is, no matter how much white noise, they have an internal clock that goes off. And so we kind of have tried to make a little rule too. Like if you are up, like you can be in your room quietly, but like, please do not come out until 7. So I know I need to get one of those little okay to wake clocks.
Oh yeah. They're the best.
So they come marching in at 7 a.m. ready to eat my arm off. I have all boys. And, so usually breakfast is kind of like our most elaborate meal of the day. It's our most intense meal of the day. Like we will usually cook a full breakfast and that's like great. Sit down and eat together.
That's awesome.
When I get to dinner, you'll be less impressed. So, we eat pancakes and eggs and bacon and toast and muffins and the whole nine yards. And that's a really nice time. And I always really enjoy it. And so after that, they run off and go play for usually 30 minutes to an hour. While I do quiet time, I clean up for breakfast. I do a variety of random things. I usually feed our youngest child. So he still requires me to sit and feed him and give him liquids since he doesn't do that on his own fully independently yet. And so that is a real chunk of my time there at breakfast. And then we build in TV time to our morning every day. So it's just a nice, predictable time that everyone can count on. And it's been nice too, because I plan to do administrative things during that time. And so the kids usually watch a show and I am right there with my computer so I can kind of monitor what's going on. Usually doing emails and making appointments and all of those things. And by kind of like Laura, by like 9 o'clock-ish, we are still adjusting to our new routine. We just moved. Like I said, our kiddo is in a bunch of therapy now. We usually have some type of therapy, people in and out of our house going somewhere between 9 and noon. And so we're busy all morning. We have lunch. My three oldest kids do not nap anymore. And so they sort of have a rest time where they need to play quietly. I just basically am like, this is mommy needs a break time. And so I've gotten to a point there. They all play together. I'm like, if you guys can play without fighting, like go for it. But if you're going to have an issue, we're going to be in separate rooms and you can read quietly or whatever. And they've learned pretty quickly, like how to do that, I would say. My youngest naps. And then late afternoon, we try to get out of the house again and do something. If it is anywhere near a nice day, we are outside, running off energy. We hang out with grandpa a lot. My neighbors are now my parents. And so we see my dad most days of the week. And he's like kind of a grandpa dream nanny. he's awesome.
So I wish I had one.
Yeah, he helps out with the boys a lot. And I will say dinner is like a little bit of a hot mess for us right now. We've been in survival mode for a while. I'm not even meal planning. So I just like at 5 o'clock, like, I'm like, okay, what do we have? Like, okay, I've got frozen salmon. I can pull the rice cooker out. I've got a bag of frozen veggies. Like I can heat that up. I got a frozen loaf of bread and it all just kind of comes together. We eat with family a lot during the week. So I think dinner is something that I'm constantly like, oh, I would love to improve on that. But it's also something in this season we've chosen to just say it is what it is, you know?
Well, and you guys do the big breakfast and your husband's home for that and he values that. And so, you know, I mean, you're just placing priority too on what your husband wants. My husband is not home. He's gone at, you know, 5 or whatever. So I'm like, granola bars, kids. You want toast? That's fancy. Toast is fancy. So we're pretty chill.
And our kids are in bed by 6:45.
Yeah, which hence the 7 a.m. wake up. I mean, if you push their bedtime back, it's like, you know.
Yeah, so everybody gets their time somewhere. Ours is at night, and my husband and I try to spend several hours together in the evening doing a variety of random stuff, sometimes just staring.
Oh, that sounds nice. okay, so what's the balance of staying home and getting out with your kids, and why do you intentionally choose those commitments? How do you find balance? So we're going to generally answer this question, and Em and I were chatting about it, and we really think it's both a heart and a personality issue.
Yeah.
She and I have super different personalities, if you haven't picked up on that throughout the show, but that is, we have the same values, we have the same principles in our life, but we play it out really, really differently. And so, I love to get out and about. You know, we go out, not Emily is in a new season where I think it's a more required, you know, for her son to get out. And for me, it's definitely more of a choice. Like, I love to have quite a bit of different things throughout the day. And so, but for both of us, we're learning that, you know, if you're going out so much that it's really hard on your kids, maybe it's hard on your ability to manage the home. You're dropping balls in your home with being able to clean or cook or do those types of things. Or maybe you're trying to run away from something. I know this was a big issue for me of trying to kind of run away from boredom or loneliness. You know, that those are heart issues. And so then it might be time to scale back. And so I think just like most things that we talk about on the show, it's really about evaluating what are your motivations for getting out? What are your motivations for being in a commitment? And, you know, and choosing like, that's just even choosing how much time to maybe spend out of the house versus in the house. But then like even what you're engaging in is really important. So if you feel like, you know, oh, I have the time to be out and this is not, you know, hurting or hindering anything in the home. But remember that even if you're a stay-at-home mom or a part-time work-at-home mom or just somebody who feels like, hey, I've got this time that's extra, your time is still incredibly valuable. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, are you just going to Target and Starbucks every day and just spending some money and kind of like, you know, daydreaming out at Target just to be out and about? Like, that's okay every once in a while, but is that like your consistent pattern? Or are you involving yourself in ministry or trying to grow spiritually, or maybe you're trying to nurture a dream that you have of starting a business, or maybe growing in a specific talent or a hobby. So are you applying yourself with that extra time that you have? Are you applying yourself in a way that is going to move the needle forward in a sense? And a big, big, big question is, what does your husband support? So what does he value? You heard me talk about Emily's husband values spending time on breakfast, and does it, you know, and my husband loves a great dinner, even though he eats it, you know, he warms it up in the microwave. Like, I've spent time on dinner because he does value a great dinner to come home to. And so, you know, I manage my day so that I can make dinner, and Emily manages her day so she can make breakfast. And, you know, and then things like, you know, is he supportive of how much time you're spending, out and about, or how much money you're spending engaging in these type of things. So make sure that he is on board, and what does he value? If it's a clean house, or if it's, you know, the kids looking presentable, whatever it may be, that you are prioritizing that piece of the puzzle. So what's the ROI on your time, essentially, is what you want to know.
Totally. I echo everything Laura said. And I think that a lot of those principles apply. We have had a really similar question, which is, how do you kind of balance like your kids' needs and then being involved in church things? So kind of that similar, okay, we're going to have to be out and about for church. They may have to be in childcare, or like there may be something we have to do for a small group where we have to stay up late. And so I just wanted to share a quick story, kind of an example of a lesson that I learned about this, and then maybe just share a few principles. But for about 3 years, when I was pregnant with my first, all the way through when I had three under three, I was really heavily involved in a Bible study, not at my church, like a parachurch organization Bible study. And the actual hours commitment of like when I had to be there was just about 2.5, 3 hours, 2 days a week, two mornings a week. And so, you know, on paper, it was like, oh, this isn't that big of a commitment. But by the time I had gotten to three under three, that also required me to wake up almost an hour earlier in the morning, getting them all ready to be out the door early in the morning and feeding them breakfast and all of those things we talked about, took just an extra physical toll on me. getting them there was really difficult, even getting them in the door. I mean, things like, it was a huge parking lot and I had three little kids who could barely walk in the door. It was just, it was kind of a fiasco. People used to like stand at the door and like gawk at us like walking in. Like, here comes Emily with her three kids. Are they going to run out into the parking lot again? And then, you know, I was there and then I had to, you know, pick them up, take them home. By that time, they were all starving. They were desperate for a nap. They were crying. And so realistically, I mean, from probably like 6 a.m. to 12:30 or 1 p.m., that was the real time it was taking me. And then by 12:30, I was exhausted. Like, I had already expended all of my physical energy, all of my mental energy, all of my emotional energy pouring out in this Bible study. And I had almost nothing to give in the afternoon in terms of parenting or even just things around my house. And so what I found was this little Bible study that I committed to that was wonderful was actually taking up two full days of my week. And so I was like, doing stuff on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I was functionally out of commission for our home. And Thursday and Friday, I arrived again. And so just the story is, I think you have to look at the whole impact sometimes. And that's not to say that it's not super valuable. But when I was pregnant with my fourth, I was just like, look, is this even wise? Like, can I even live through this with four kids? Is this smart? Is this... is the amount of energy and toll this is taking on our family and our kids and me worth kind of the investment? And so that answer is going to be different for everyone in every season for every event. But some of the questions that I have found myself asking, exactly what Laura said, like, am I able to complete the basic things around the house that I need to get done? And am I... Can I look for warning signs in my kids? Like, am I almost finding I'm never disciplining them? Like, we're always just kind of masking the behavior because we're always gone, you know, so I'm not dealing with things. Are my kids like crying at the drop of a hat and they're getting upset over things that they're generally okay over? Am I as a mom having really high anxiety levels about this commitment? I'm feeling overwhelmed and drowning. Is my husband asking like, what have you been, you know, like, I feel like you've been gone, or like, I feel like your mind has been absent kind of from the family. And I think just, again, this isn't something that like, oh, I just had a hard day. I just had a hard week, or even I just had a hard month. Like, this is like an extended season of time where you're going, look, this church commitment or this ministry is like, this is something I've prayed about. This is something I've talked to my husband about. And maybe it is something I have to pull out of. Or maybe, like Laura said, you have this margin time and you are not spending it on eternal things. And there is time and it is going to sacrifice. It's going to cost something to invest in ministry and to invest in church things. So expect a cost, I would say, for sure. Maybe Laura can talk to that.
Well, yeah. And I would say, I mean, those are really great questions for something that like is consistently taking up a ton of time, but something like going to church or going to a small group every other Tuesday night. Yeah. I would say, you know, those are things that disrupt you, your schedule, your child's schedule for one night or one morning. And I just remember as a new mom, especially, like, I was very like nap crazy and I wanted, you know, my child to get the best rest that they could. And, they were very structured and I felt like the sky was going to fall if my son didn't get his nap or didn't go to bed at 7, or I had to pack, you know, put him down in a unfamiliar place and then bring them home. But I would encourage you just to remember that your spiritual life is so important, even as a new mom, or even as, you know, it's more important than bedtimes at time. And I can't decide that for you. Emily can't decide that for you, but I would say that like, there are seasons and times where I think it's important to not idolize that nap schedule or that morning wake time or evening wake time, whatever it may be, in order that you can be fed spiritually, because being isolated with your children is not healthy. And so if you find yourself saying no to all of these commitments, particularly going to church and being involved in a small group, I would say are some of the most important two pieces of the Christian community. And you're doing that consistently and you're saying this season is too hard. Well, I think that something needs to be checked in your heart there and to look at what am I valuing? Is my child really that messed up because they missed one nap, you know, or is it something that we can recover from within a 24-hour period and move on? Because this is a very short season of your life, but it is not unimportant spiritually. And I think we can kind of say like, oh, it's just 3 months or it's just the first year of my child's life that I'm not really going to church. I'm doing these things. And, I guess I would advocate to try to sacrifice in a few areas. Not Emily's example is a large hunk. You know, we're talking about 48 hours here. but trying to be willing to sacrifice and kind of suck it up for going to church. Sorry, I'm always like the little bit harsher, but
yeah. Well, I think it's like understanding what we're getting to is like some of the non-negotiable things that are like, hey, like, we're going to go to church on Sunday. Like my kids, like that is exhausting and that does require sacrifice, but that's not on the table to take out. So
there you go. Yes.
We're going to work around that, you know, small group, like we're going to be a part of that. I don't know. You know, we've tried to even be creative. Things like a Bible study too. Like I said, like a Bible study for me to be in that is like essential for my spiritual health. So I will find a way to get in a Bible study. And even like this season, okay, so I can't do it during the day. I've started to do it at night, you know, leave the house after the kids go to bed. So I think that, that you have to figure out for yourself, for your family, what are those things that like, these are not on the table to get out of our lives. And so we're going to have to figure out how to train our kids to work around them. And what are the things we're involved in? Maybe from a ministry perspective, maybe from a church perspective that are wonderful to do, but could be things that you could cut out if you needed to.
Yes. Okay. How do you transition from full-time working to stay-at-home mom? So I became a stay-at-home mom when I had my first child. So I didn't transition in between. So I'm not sure how the people who asked this meant this question, if it was like, hey, I've got three kids and now I'm coming home.
Yeah.
But what I can say is going from 40 to 50 hour a week job to staying home all day was a big shock. And it wasn't the flowers and roses and daisies that I was expecting. So I guess I really struggled with my identity. I struggled with knowing where did my attention and my affirmation come from. I just remember talking my husband's ear off. I'm really struggling that when he came home late and I felt like, oh, you know, I need help, I need relief. And this was just with one kid, you know? And I think that I would just encourage you with your expectations to know that the adjustment might be bumpy and that it's not necessarily going to be amazing, even if this is something you've dreamed of and longed for all, your whole life. I do think that becoming a stay-at-home mom forced me to rely so much more to find my satisfaction, my affirmation, my identity in Christ, and my fulfillment, because there aren't these natural worked in, you know, affirmations that work provided. But my best tips, I guess, and I think Emily would echo these, is get involved in different things like we're talking about, using these checks and balances that we've just provided. You know, don't stay home all day. Don't isolate yourself, even if you're getting out just a couple times a week. I mean, try to meet with people, find community, find hobbies, and involve your kids in the stuff that you're doing. Be intentional with your nap time. I think it can be easy to fritter it away and say, I deserve to watch TV right now. Or, you know, and sometimes you do, there's a genuine rest time that's allowable, but just try to be intentional with structuring your day. Emily, any other last advice pieces?
No, I'm right there with you. I think what you said about just kind of getting comfortable that it's going to be bumpy. And I think those are the moments. I've been through a billion transitions in the last 4.5 years. And I always look back on those transitions and say, that's really where God was doing work in my heart to show me sin, areas that I'd been idolizing, things that I'd been putting my hope in that were no longer there. And so just also gear up to be looking to Christ. And like Laura said, finding your identity in him. So another question that we get a ton.
And oh my goodness, you guys.
Yeah. Okay. So actually I just remembered, I think we are going to do a high level show on this. So disciplining your toddler is the question. How do I discipline my toddler? How do you offer discipline to your toddler? It's not us. Okay. So I will just say that we're going to get to it. And we're probably, it's just too big of a thing. And like probably too, this is like a great over coffee conversation.
Yeah. Well, and it's very subjective.
Yes.
And we don't exactly know what people always mean with discipline. And, you know, it's a very hard question to answer, but we are going to try. We're going to give you guys a high level overview with some obviously biblical concepts, in a full show. Yes. We're going to plead the fifth today, but just know that this is coming. And, our encouragement would just be to, just remember that discipline is a requirement, that scripture compels us as parents to do something to discipline our children. And that it's important to have a system and be consistent in whatever it is that you do, even if it looks different from your girlfriend or from child to child, it looks different. So we will get into this. We don't have time today. We're nervous to do it just because it's a hot topic. And so I get the hives when people ask us about this, and it comes probably a couple times a week.
So. Yeah. Yes, like Laura said, we want to cover it. We both place a very high value on discipline in our homes. The Bible places a high value on discipline. This is a major role of parents, like Laura said. So we don't want to ignore this, but we're still praying through, and we're going to find a way to talk about it. It's hard too, because we're both like, hey, neither Laura and I have a book that we're like, hey, this is what we do exactly.
We have no method.
Like my husband and I are probably like a conglomeration of like four books that we've read, plus three older couples we've talked to, plus things we've read in scripture, plus our personalities. And that like makes up our discipline system. Yeah. And so it's very difficult, because there is no even Christian discipline book that I'm like, I fully endorse that, you know, 100%.
Right. Well, and I think I'm hesitant too, because I'm like, well, my son is only he's almost four, but like I have no proof in my pudding.
We may have messed our kids up.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I think that's my biggest hesitation with talking about it, is just that I feel like I don't have the answers, and I know it, and I know that I mess it up, and my kids haven't turned out to be these amazing, you know, contributing citizens to society that are super spiritual. You know, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to turn out to be, but anyway,
we'll get there. We'll do it on some level soon.
Yes. Okay. So what is your favorite place to go on a date night, Em?
Date night. Wow. We do not go out for dates very often.
Okay, what's your favorite date night in activity?
Date night in, we kind of watch shows together, I guess, or like watch movies together. I don't know. That's probably the highlight of things these days. Ooh. We have a little restaurant here in town called The Cafe. It's like the fanciest restaurant in our little town. It's not that little. Little compared to where I grew up.
Middle-sized town.
Yeah. So we'll go out to dinner occasionally. We actually like to have breakfast dates often, because it's easier to convince like grandparents to watch our kids from like, hey, can you watch them from like 9 to 11:30, and we'll go out and get breakfast. So I don't know. We're not on any formal date night, but I know Laura, you and Mike have some awesome dates sometimes.
Oh yeah. Well, my husband can be quite elaborate, but yes, we love food. We're big. We are wannabe foodies, I guess. So we do go out, and we also love going to movies, because it never happens anymore. And so it's really special to get to go to a movie. So those are like our two big things. Date night, and we cook together. So, but that doesn't happen that often, but I do like, you know, we like to cook and just, we eat on the couch, because we never eat on the couch with kids anymore, you know, cause you got to have them at the table. So we eat on the couch, which sounds so silly, but it's nice for a date. So I think the biggest thing with dates is just calling it a date, saying we're going to have a date tonight. Even if it's at home, we're going to, you know, open a bottle of wine and hang out, and we're going to call it this, so that your husband knows he's not supposed to be on his phone, and you know, you're not supposed to be answering emails during it, but you're intentionally taking that time, I guess. So that would be my tip. Okay. So love stories. Emily, can you give like a super fast version of your love story? Is that possible?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So I met my husband, Brad, Laura's brother, remember, in Kansas City. He had just graduated from college and moved there. And I am from Kansas City. A mutual friend introduced us. She knew me really well, knew him, knew that we were both Christians. And she was like, hey, you guys should meet.
Based on this.
I know, I'm like, well, that's a needed thing. But so we were just friends for a while. And if you know my husband, he's like super intentional, super like a big decision maker, would you say, Laura? Like
he's
takes
intense.
A long time to make decisions.
Oh, so man, for Evs. Yeah.
He contemplated asking me out on a date for like months, I think. And I'm just like, what if we're friends? You know? So eventually we did start dating each other more intentionally. And I just thought the world of him. I have always just admired my husband to no end and have just thought he is incredibly smart and interesting and just a great man and loved his family. And so I probably knew pretty quickly. I hoped he would ask me to marry him, but
how quick was that, Emily?
I don't know. Like maybe within a month or two, I was like, hey, if he's feeling this, like I'm on board, I really care for this guy. He did not say I love you until we got engaged. So,
but this is my question is how quick did you get engaged and how quick did you get married? Please give numbers.
So probably 10 months after we started dating, we did get engaged and like 11 weeks later we got married.
11 weeks, you guys. 11 weeks.
That was my full-time job for 11 weeks was planning a wedding.
It was my full-time job for 5 months, girlfriend.
So
it was impressive.
It was a whirlwind, but yeah, wouldn't change a thing. He's absolutely great for me because our personalities, we value like the exact same things, but our personalities could not be more sanctifying for one another, but it is wonderful. Amen. Like I just absolutely love it.
Yeah. They're a good couple. I'll tell Brad to listen to minute 55 or whatever we're on. Tune in and get some affirmation, brother.
What about you, Laura?
My love story, not quite as simple as Emily's. So my husband and I met in college and he was a couple years older than me. We really only dated in town together for about 2 months. Maybe not even that long. And formally, you know, like official boyfriend, girlfriend, we certainly played the flirtatious game for quite a while. Met through my brother, Brad, Emily's husband. We met through just, they were friends. So I was dating the friend of my big brother, which didn't go over well with Brad at first, was not cool.
Wow.
But Brad came around and now they have like man crushes on one another, which is so fun. So
they do.
Anyway, my husband moved because he graduated before me a couple years before me. He moved to Minnesota to start working full time. So we dated long distance for about 2 years. I lived in the cities through different internships in the summertime. So we did get summers together. And he proposed, I was graduating in December. I graduated a little early. And he proposed for the first time. We were engaged 2 times. In December, right as I graduated, we were only engaged for a couple of weeks. It wasn't very long when I knew and he knew that it was not the right time. And we don't have time to get into all the reasons. I'm sure everyone's dying with bated breath, but know that it was 100% my fault. Not fault, but it was 100% like, it was my fault. You know, it was just, I needed to deal with quite a few things before I was able to get married. My husband was certainly, he was a total saint through the whole thing. And he loved me so much, you guys, that he stuck with me, but he ultimately called the engagement off. I did not even have the strength to do that. But it was the best thing for us. And we didn't talk for quite a few months. We both took time separate. And then I ended up moving to Minnesota to date him. The girl that said I would never move for a guy moved for a guy. But needed to figure out what it would be like to really live life with him. And, about 8 or 9 months later, we were engaged a second time. From there we got married about 5 months later and it has been bliss ever since. And it's just been wonderful. And I would agree with Emily that we are exact opposites. He is, much quieter. He is super calm. Nothing shakes him or rattles him. He is just, I don't know, brave and courageous and wise. And he calls me out when I'm wrong. And you know, you shouldn't have said that, or that sounded a little funny, or, you know, just guides me in a very quiet manner. We're very different, but I'm so thankful, as Emily said, because he just continues to sanctify me. And he really did just love me through our dating relationship, which is ultimately why I knew he was the right guy. It was just the way that he handled this bomb that I dropped on him. And, praise God, we were able to just find reconciliation and healing and, be happily married with, what do you say? 2.5 kids. I don't know, 3 kids plus the adoption process. Yeah. So it's fun.
Yeah. But anyway, and this is not to make it sound like we have, you know, perfect marriages, but
we got props.
Means. But I think one thing Laura and I have come to deeply appreciate is how the joy and the goodness of God in the midst of difficult things.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
It's, yeah, we don't have perfect marriages. That's right. So our last two questions, we're going to do full episodes on these, I think.
Yep.
So we are going to do, how did you plan your family? You know, did you plan it out as you went, or did you, how did you know you were ready to add another child? That was it's kind of a conglomeration of a bunch of questions we got asked about basically family planning. So we are going to do a show on that coming up in the next couple of months. And then how did you transition from one to two or beyond? How do you navigate the new season, and how did it change after 6 months to 1 year, et cetera? So that is going to be a second show, is transitioning to additional kids. Emily has much more experience than I, and we're both staring it down the pipe of another transition. So we certainly will try to apply the gospel to both of those pieces and talk through the heart issues, but just know that those are shows that are coming. But because of the sheer number of times we got asked those questions
and the magnitude,
and just the meatiness. Yeah. We're going to take time to answer those thoroughly and well in a different show. And there were so many questions we didn't even get to today.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe on Instagram stories this week, when the show comes out, Laura and I will pick a few more like softball questions to pop on Instagram stories and talk through, maybe things like Laura was going to talk about plow and trowel Bible study methods.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
I know some people maybe asked about our house. So there's
Emily's new house. Yep.
Definitely. We'll try to sprinkle some more in there, some creative way this week.
Yes. So, if you have any other questions, always feel free to email us. As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, find us on social media as well. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And then, of course, we would just love it if you guys would give us a rating and review on iTunes. We're really grateful to those of you that have taken time to do it. It's about 5 minutes long, but we would just love it if you would bless us with that to get the word out about the show to more moms. Lots of moms have reported finding us through the search results on iTunes. So those rankings that you offer us brings us higher in search results. So
yeah, we'll be back at our normal time length next week.
This was so long. All right, talk to you guys soon.